Amen. Best thing in the world to do, amen, is just trust in the Lord. Thank you, girls, for leading us in that tonight. I couldn't help but think of a couple passages of Scripture while you were singing that song that the Lord was giving to me. And I know y'all don't mind turning to a couple places and just let's look and see what the Scripture says about that song that they were just singing. Turn to Daniel, Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter number 2. Look in Daniel chapter number 2. I'm going to give you a couple little passages of Scripture that I think will encourage you. These things bless me. They encourage me. When I was thinking about that, where they said when you're in the dark and you don't know what to do, but God sees in the dark. He sees into tomorrow. And Daniel, he says that. Find that Old Testament book of Daniel. You go to Ezekiel, you find Jeremiah and Lamentations. In Ezekiel, you're going to find Daniel. And Daniel is so rich with great truths, great promises. And this is when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, and he wanted somebody to tell him about it. And Daniel came to him. And the providence of God. Look in chapter number 2, and I'm just going to start reading in verse 8. Let's say verse number 19. Verse number 19. It says, then the secret was revealed to who? The secret. It was secret to everybody except God and His counsel and whom God chose to reveal it to. That would be Daniel. And a night vision. So Daniel, when he seeing what God showed him. And remember, faith is seeing and agreeing and acting on what God reveals. God doesn't have to reveal everything to us, and He doesn't. But whatever He reveals, when we see it and agree with Him and act on it, that's what faith is. It's seeing, agreeing, and acting on what God unveils to us. And you don't have to have God unveil everything to you, but you want Him to be unveiling things to you. Amen? So that you can exercise faith in that. So Daniel, when God did it, what did Daniel do? He prayed. He blessed him. Amen. That's what we need to do. When God reveals something to us, He gives us revelation on a thing, we need to bless Him. We need to bless Him. And you know, right now is the only time we have to bless Him. Yesterday was gone, right? Earlier today is behind us. We hadn't come to tomorrow yet. Right now is the only time we have to really bless the Lord. So we want to bless Him. He says in verse number 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. And all God's people said, for wisdom, insight, and might are His. It is God who does what? Changes the times and the seasons. It is God who removes kings. And it is God who raises up leaders. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Watch verse 22. He reveals deep and secret things. God knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. And all God's people said, you know what that's saying? That is saying that God sees what we can't see. You and I can't see in the dark. Amen. It takes light to see in the dark. And not only can God see in the dark what we can't see, the unknown, but He also possesses light, Miss Priscilla, that He can shed light on what's in the dark. When nobody else can see it, He can shed light on it so that we can see into the dark. Or we can see the unknown. Now, He doesn't have to show us. But if He does show you, what do you want to do? You want to bless Him. Amen. You want to praise Him. You want to trust Him. You want to thank Him. I was thinking about that as y'all were singing, that God sees in the dark. There are things about all our lives that we have no idea what may come tomorrow. Amen? But you know what? God already sees it. He's already preparing us for it. to bless him today is what's going to prepare us to be able to bless him tomorrow for the unknown. How many times have people asked you how your day's going? I done asked several of y'all in here, how's everything going? And most everybody told me everything was going well. Only one couple said they had one fight today. That was all they had. And they were blessing God for it. Amen. I asked who won. He said his wife won. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. People ask me at different times, they say, "Preacher, how's everything going?" I say, "Well, look, everything that I know of is going good. But what I don't know, that might not be good, God's already promised to work it together for the good." Amen? I didn't know when I was with y'all in October 2018 that I had cancer in my body. I didn't know I had a blood disorder. The doctor said most likely that I already had that cancer within me for several years and was totally unaware of it. Had no idea. You in here tonight, we in here, we have no idea what's going on necessarily within each of our bodies or within each of our families or what's yet to come. But I want to tell you, we serve a God who sees in the dark. We serve a God who has wisdom, who gives understanding, who possesses light and can shed light on a thing. I didn't know that I had cancer, but I'd been telling people for a long time what I didn't know that might not be good. God already promised me in advance that He was going to use it to work it together for the good. For those that what? Love Him and all the what? Called according to His purpose. Because I serve a God who sees tomorrow. I serve a God who sees eternity. I serve the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, who inhabits eternity with the humble and those who have a contrite heart. Amen? And to God be the praise and the glory for that. I thought about that mountain. Look in Psalm. Go to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Y'all notice in look in verse number 4. Somebody read verse number 4 out loud for me. Psalm 130 in verse number 4. What does it say? There is what? With you, O Lord, that you might be what? There is forgiveness with you, O Lord, that you might be feared. So when God forgives a man, God changes a man. And all God's people said? Notice what verse number 3 says. If God should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand before you? If God was to seal and record it and write it down that it couldn't be changed, it couldn't be scratched out, it couldn't be blotted out, who in the world would ever be able to stand before the Lord? Would any of us be able to stand before Him if God sealed our iniquities, our wickedness? Praise God, there's forgiveness with Him. Amen. And not only is there forgiveness, but when God forgives us, you know what He does? What does the New Testament teach us about forgiveness? Those who are forgiven much also do what? They forgive others, but there's a specific phrase He uses. Those who are forgiven of much also love much. You see, when you've been forgiven of God, of that which separated you from Him, and your debt has been forgiven by Him, you can't help but love the one who's freed you of that debt. Amen? And when you love someone, what do? You treasure them. And when you treasure them, you give place to them. And that is that picture that when God releases us from the debt of our wickedness, with that comes a sense of awe and reverence where you give place to God. That's why the Bible would teach us, how do you know if somebody's been forgiven? Their life's been transformed. Their life's been changed. They give place to God. They fear God. They make Him the priority. They make Him the big thing in their life. Why? He's released them from a debt that they owed that they couldn't pay for themselves. Amen? You see, when I was talking with my dad, I called him on the phone and when I found out that I had cancer. And I was sharing with him on the phone about what the doctors had shared with me, what I had. And this is what my dad said. This is what I would have said to my daughters or my bride. I would have said the same thing. He said, well, Nikki, I wish it could be me. If there was any way possible, I'd rather it be me to have this than you. And I said, Dad, I know you would. I would for my own girls. But I want to tell you what. Somebody did trade their life for my life. Somebody did take my old corrupt sin and my old corrupt flesh and my old corrupt blood. And he traded his righteous blood and his righteous life and his life for mine. And he traded me and gave me his righteousness for my old stinking sin. And I want to tell you, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody done traded his life for mine. Amen. I want to tell you, God will do a work in our lives that when we stand before Him and we give place and priority to Him, when we start operating without Him, God says He'll do something for us in His love. Now go to Psalm 30. Look in Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. Psalm 30. In verse number 6, he says, this is King David. David said, now in my prosperity, when I was doing things and I was achieving great things in my prosperity, when I was on the high mark, David said, I shall never be what? I shall never be shaken. I shall never be moved. And notice what verse 7 says. Lord, by your favor, and you can say by your grace, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face and I was what? I was terrified. I was troubled. Every once in a while, Steve, you ever get a little prideful? Now don't lie in here tonight. How many of y'all ever get a little independent at times when you seem to be walking on a high, you seem to have those feet like deer's feet, you're getting over obstacles, boy, and you say, I got life licked, I got it going good. And that's what was going on in David's life. He was prospering and he was doing really well, and he said, boy, I'll never be moved from this place. And old God showed him that God put a mountain before him that David wasn't going to overcome. And he did it in his favor before him. Like that song, that mountain that will not be moved, what does that do? That drives us to the Lord. The Lord hid his face from him, Miss Priscilla. And what happened in that? David was troubled and his prosperity didn't matter anymore. Why? Because God cut his feet out from under him so that he would be what? Dependent upon him. And he would ask him. Sometimes God puts a mountain before us that he's not going to move. And what is that going to do? That's going to draw us to Him. Amen. And we're going to hear from Him and we're going to realize that, hey, just like Jesus said in John chapter 15, we cannot do anything without Him. Didn't He tell His disciples that? In John chapter 15, He says, you can do nothing without me. What did He mean by you can do nothing without me? He meant that you can do nothing of any eternal value without me. You have to stay intimately connected to the vine. You have to abide and remain in me if you're going to do anything with significant eternal value. Anything done separated from Him has no eternal significance to it. It has no eternal value. It's good for nothing eternally. I probably told y'all, I've got some family members. My daddy used to say they were good for nothing. Did y'all have any family members like that? Y'all mighty quiet. They right near, wait a minute, don't be pointing at nobody. I know most everybody's kin in here. Don't be pointing at nobody. But when I was growing up, my daddy used to always talk about my mama's side of the family as they were good for nothings. That they were dependent on this one and that one and this and that. And And as I was growing in grace and learning more and more about Jesus, I realized that the Bible teaches that same principle when it comes to the word evil. That which is evil. That which is evil is that which is bad. It's bad because it's broken, and it's broken because it has no eternal significance. It means nothing eternally. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad in the sense of it doesn't value people on the earth. It doesn't mean that. It just means it has no eternal value to it. And when we operate in pride, that is doing things our way, we think our way's better. We think we can stand on our own. Like David is saying, in my prosperity, when I was at my peak doing really well, I made a statement of that. I'll never be moved from this. I'll never be moved in it. And then God gives you something to realize that, hey, you can be shaken. You can be moved. You can be moved. Something can get you. And I'm going to show you that you really can't walk through this life without me. Without me. Aren't you glad God to do that for us? Amen. That He won't always answer us when we ask Him for something, or He won't remove this out of our life. For an example, can God heal me totally of cancer? Is that possible? Is that possible? Can God do that? Is it possible? Do y'all have some? Has anybody ever in here had some kind of illness that can't be healed physically? Anybody in here? Anybody ever have cancer or something to that extent? Is that possible that God is able to do that? Can He heal the leper? Can He do that? Yes, He can. But you know, everything that is possible in the kingdom is not always profitable for the kingdom. We got to remember that. It's not that God has to heal me. It's not that God has to fix me from my affliction or my illness. You know what I need God to do more than? I need God to fix me for it. I need Him to fix me for it. I need Him to do something with me for it. So that I can go through it and give Him glory in the midst of it. Not that He's got to take it from me, but that He does something in me so that I can walk through it and bring Him glory in the midst of it. Amen? So everything that is possible with God is not always profitable or beneficial for us in the kingdom for God to do the impossible and remove it out of our life. Sometimes we just need to hear those words as the Apostle Paul heard when God told him, when he asked God to remove something out of his life. You know what God told him? Paul, I'm not going to fix it, but I am going to fix you for it. And my grace will be sufficient for you to bear it. So God was saying, I'm fixing you, Paul, for what you have, and I'm not going to take it away, because it's possible for me to take it away, but it's not profitable for you nor the people you're going to serve if I remove it out of your life. It's best that you have it, and I know what's best. And boy, that's that place of humble submission. Amen. When we come to God and know that He knows what's best for us in this life, and to Him be the praise. Amen. So, Father, we thank You tonight. We bless You. Thank You for helping us. I pray that You speak into us. And people that are struggling among us right now with whatever issues they may be going through, we're grateful. We want to be able to say, as You teach us in Romans chapter 5, that tribulation, troubles, work in us. They work patience, and patience works character, and character works hope, and that hope doesn't disappoint. You have a process. You bring us in and out and in and out and in and out of trouble on a regular basis, because You have predestined to mold us and shape us and to make us more and more like Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not going to escape the troubles of life. But we want to look to You as we go through them, and You teach us how to endure and embrace and run the race that You set before us. So I pray for those tonight that have been struggling with a distressed spirit. They've got a cruel messenger knocking at their door constantly that they're afraid of and dismayed by, and that you will let them return to you. Bring them to you. Let them come to you and find rest in you. And we're going to thank you for it. And we're going to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.